If you will, turn in your Old Testaments to Genesis chapter 37. We'll be looking there in just a moment. One of the interesting things about, I think, all of us who try to get up here and present something to you in what we call this Lord's Supper talk is that you really have to examine the variety of aspects, players, characters maybe is a better term, in what we come to think about at the Lord's Supper table. Certainly, there's much victory. There's much to be excited about. There's much sadness and grief. There's much guilt and introspection. And there's so many people, so many characters that come into play, ourselves, our church family, our Savior, our Father, and all of these things are worth examining. And today, I chose to focus a little bit on ourselves. I think one of the hardships in focusing is that we must approach the Lord's Supper with a true and honest assessment of who we are without Christ, who we are on our own, and where we're left to be. And I've chosen to take a look at Joseph's brothers here in Genesis chapter 37. And you'll remember Joseph had these great dreams of prophecy where he basically told his brothers, I will rule over you. I will be greater than you are. And along with some interpersonal family issues, it seems, these brothers kind of didn't like Joseph, right? And I feel like this is maybe one of the saddest stories in the Old Testament. Sure, there's a lot of blood and gore and things of that nature, but when you examine your own family and when you examine your own siblings and the people close to you that you love and are to provide for, and you imagine them throwing you in a pit, there's just a lot of agony in that. So this is very relatable to me. And I think that we'll find we're not Joseph in this story. So with that, let's dig in Genesis chapter 37, verse 31. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on the way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. The Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Then they took Joseph to Egypt. And what you see here is a very dysfunctional family. And you see people who acted against someone who was good, someone who was pure, because of their jealousies, because of their insecurities, because of the hate that existed in their heart. And I have to come to the conclusion that in this story, at least as it relates to Christ, I am one of these brothers. What a foul thing to consider, but a truth we must accept. Even worse, they lied to their father about it. Continue reading. Then they took Joseph's robe and, this is verse 31. They took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it into their father and said, this we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not. And he identified it and said, it is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. They lied to their father. They took the blood that was on their hands and went and made a spectacle, made a show to their father and let him assume something different. How often do we find ourselves justifying, rationalizing, whiffing away our own sins in front of our Father? And what pain that must have caused him. And there is some truth to this. There was Reuben, and who said, you know, this makes me sorrowful. This makes me tore his clothes. But they still did this thing to collectively and together. And isn't that so true of ourselves? And so, I didn't talk to Steve about singing this song, but you want to talk about someone who arose from nothing to greatness. Joseph illustrates that story, and maybe that's why he comes from a pit to ruling second only to Pharaoh. It's just to illustrate how great that resurrection was. Joseph rises out of the pit, years of work and effort, hardship, and he's set in a place to redeem those who scorned him so, to provide for those who lied to his father, to take care of the children of those people who did him so wrongly. And this is the story of us with our Savior, our provider. What an amazing story it is. If I'm one of these brothers, I'm pretty fearful, right? And we see this a couple of times throughout the narrative, but it comes to a head in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. Jacob had died, and the brothers were fearful that Joseph would take vengeance on them without their father around. Verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." Did they deserve it? Can you justify Joseph for any behavior he has at this point? I mean, from a human perspective, that's human logic. It seems very easy to see that Joseph could do what he wanted with them at this point. Their fear caused them to send a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave us this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brother also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Is this not the story of our relationship with our brother Christ, our Father God, what we've done for him and what he has returned to us despite of our wretchedness? As we examine ourselves, it's important to take a moment and acknowledge who we were and what our identity is in Christ. As you take the bread and eat the cup, be thankful for his sacrifice and that he provides for us anyway.